Well, good evening, folks.
Good evening.
This might be a bit of a dangerous question, although I don't think so. Have you had a good week at camp this week? I can always count on Bonnie. It's been so good for those of you who have been able and been privileged to be able to stay on campus. We've had a wonderful time together and watching the kids run around. For those of you who have been able to come into to some or all of the evening services, it has been such a blessing to have our guest speaker, Michael Thompson, with us. And we have been challenged. We have heard from the Lord. Our hearts have been stirred. It's been good. I noticed throughout the day today, as I was working on some different things and trying to get some rest, that my heart couldn't make up its mind whether it was sad to be on the backside heading into the weekend, looking towards the conclusion of camp, or was it whether it was excited and looking forward to getting back out and approaching the real world, so to speak, and with some fresh vigor and life. Sometimes it's been mixed emotions. It's been a good week together. Well, don't have any announcements right now. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into our time of worship together. God, thank you for blessing. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for meeting us in this special way once again. Thank you for how good you have been to us in what we have received through our speakers, through the special team that put on our VBS and the way that that has ministered and encouraged and brought our children together, for the good food that we've enjoyed and all those who have served and done so with cheer and a smile on their face and grace in their spirits. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would set a fire within us tonight. That we would humble ourselves. That we would bow our knee at the altar. That we lay ourselves before it as living sacrifices. That we would die to ourselves as we were challenged and reminded last night. That when we would leave this place, leave this time, when we would step forward into the world, that we would go forth not on our own, but in the power and in the presence of your Spirit. Lord, that this world might see and touch and experience you through the testimony of our lives, be drawn to faith, and receive the fullness of salvation and cleansing and abundant life. Lord, we hunger that our brothers and sisters would be right with you. We love you, Lord. Please receive our worship this evening with great delight. In your name, amen.
Good evening. You need to take your showers of blessings and put your finger in number 64. But then you need to start with your little white chorus sheet. Find number 13. Number 13. And then we'll go right into 64.
Thank you.
to your holiness. When I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, ooh, I worship you, I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. Song, holiness forevermore. It is sung by the mighty blood-washed throne. Holiness forevermore. Holiness forevermore. Holiness forevermore. We will sing it, shout it, preach it, and live. The Lord for victory, holiness forevermore. From the carnal mind we now are free, holiness forevermore. Holiness forevermore. Holiness forevermore. We will sing it, shout it, preach it, and live. Sing it by the crystal sea, holiness forevermore, holiness forevermore, holiness forevermore. We will sing it, shout it, preach it, and live it, holiness forevermore.
Just a couple quick things that we want to make note of once again. First of all, tomorrow, particularly for those who are staying on campus, there will be a church service held here in the morning. And I don't have that time right in front of me right now. 10:30, thank you for the assistance. And then in the afternoon, we will converge back together, and We've been making note of this, but we have a special missions-focused service at 2:30. So 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, you don't want to miss it. We'll be highlighting our missionaries and giving the Lander Homes one more opportunity when we're all together to share their hearts with us. So we're looking forward to that. And then I've been told to give a special note that at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, the brave in heart and the joyful of song, if you want to come together, we're going to have a little choir practice tomorrow afternoon for a little while and work on preparing a special music song to share in the 7 o'clock service. So if you feel like you've got enough umption to carry a tune, we would love to have you on the team, and we will make a joyful noise together practicing at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I think those are the only official announcements I have at this time. So we're going to continue enjoying worship together, and we'll start with some special music.
Thank you.
David, I ask you to take your Showers of Blessings book again and turn to two different ones, number 89 and then number 99. So we'll go from 89 right into 99. Up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me when I pray, take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and grief surround me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. Breath, whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. I believe at this time we're going to ask Dr. Mark Weiner to come and pray for us. Mark is one of our board members.
I've never heard of a church service that didn't have prayer in it. Have any of you ever heard of such a thing? And I've wondered more recently why that might be. And I think there are lots of really good reasons and some pretty obvious reasons. But I've realized that one of them is not to come to church to listen to somebody else pray. Prayer time is the collective prayer time of all of us. And we've tried to emphasize in our church in recent years to make this a time of prayer for all of us. And I invite you to do that and to enter into a spirit of prayer and ask the Lord what He wants you to want to happen tonight, and then to ask Him for it. And meanwhile, I'll do my best to lead us in prayer for a few moments. But I invite you to join all together in making this our prayer time this evening. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You tonight for the joy that comes from being in Your house. We think of those who gathered in the Old Testament and even recorded in the Psalms of the great delight they took in entering tabernacle. And Lord, as we've gathered in this tabernacle tonight, we take joy at being in Your presence. Thank You for the expressions of worship that have been brought to our hearts tonight. And Lord, help us to continue to worship in the various ways that we seek to worship and serve You in this camp meeting setting. Earlier today, we honored and remembered those who have entered into heaven from our association in this past year. And we took joy in thinking in the ways in which they offered leadership to our association, in which they took up the mantle of leadership. And Lord, we take joy in their contributions tonight. Lord, we also take joy in the generations that continue to gather here to serve You. We ask for Your presence in the lives who are in leadership even now, some seemingly closer to heaven than others. And we ask for Your Spirit to be upon them in the remnant of this week and then through the year. Lord, we thank You for those who are earlier in adulthood, who are beginning to move into leadership of the association, and we ask for Your blessing on their hearts and on their lives. And Lord, we take special joy, as we do every year, in seeing the children and the young people who gather in tabernacle as well to worship You. And Lord, we know many of us can easily reflect on how crucial those days were in our own lives, in learning to walk in the paths of righteousness. And we pray for that youngest generation that's here tonight, that they would truly learn in these days and in the days ahead to walk in the paths of righteousness. Lord, we think of the purposes You have for this service tonight. We thank You for those who have been called to lead us in worship. Lord, we thank You for our brother who has shared with us from Your word this week and is being called again tonight to speak to us, Your words to us. And Lord, we ask that You would open our hearts and minds to hear what You have to say to us in this time of reading from the word and listening to its meaning for us. Lord, help us all. Help us all to hear you, to ask you for the right things, and to respond to the answers you give us. We pray these things in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Well, if we would have ears to hear, I want to speak to you very briefly about money. First, we give God the glory. He has been faithful, and we have received good offerings, and we are thankful for those, and we are committed to put those to good use. May it never be that we would seek anything from you out of greed or self-service. First, we want to be mindful of, and we want to be responsible for our responsibilities concerning this week of camp. And looking ahead, not just for what we've already enjoyed and are wrapping up together, but looking for future years and future generations, believing that God has a good work to continue carrying out, and that there isn't something magical about this place or this week, but there is something sacred about God's people coming together to proclaim the fullness of the gospel and seek God for his good work. Will you choose to support that? And then secondly, it is part of our DNA. It is something we, if we're going to be prideful, what we would want to be prideful for is we love to be generous, especially with our missionary guests who are on the front lines of the fields. And we've had representatives over the years from around the globe. And this year, it has been such a privilege to have the Lander Home family with us. You're going to get to hear from them one more time tomorrow afternoon. Please consider supporting them. You don't have to wait till tomorrow night. You can give tonight and designate it towards them, and it'll get there. But I also encourage you, as I have every night, please pick up one of their prayer cards. Put it someplace of prominence that you can be reminded to be an ongoing supporter in the most powerful way available to you through your prayer and connection to the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, consider being an ongoing financial support. having family that have been on the field, I can tell you that there is power in that communication, in hearing that there are people at home standing behind you on your side as you're proclaiming the gospel, sometimes in challenging situations. So please, be mindful of our missionaries. Consider what you might do there and what God would lay on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have not called us to be a self-centered people, just looking for how you might prosper us and make us happy. You've called us to a much deeper life, a much more full reality in you, that you increase our capacity to love, to care, that you extend the small offerings that we might have to give. You are able to take that and invest it and multiply it and produce a harvest. Lord, may we be fully submitted, fully trusting in your ability to go before us, to make a way, to do your good work. It just comes to my mind right now, Lord, that maybe as we're considering how we can give and how we can encourage and how we can support, this might just be the moment that your spirit might knock, might tap on our shoulders and call us into service in some way. Maybe in our local church, maybe in this humble camp meeting, maybe next door at our neighbor's house, maybe across whole oceans. Lord, as we're telling you yes about our finances and the bits that you've already given to us, may we just as readily tell you yes with our whole lives and whatever you might want to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory. Amen. Ushers, would you come?
darkness you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
I want to extend once again my thanks, my appreciation to Pastor Nathan and to all of the members of the board of the Multnomah Holiness Association. What a privilege it has been to be able to be with you this week. Jody and I have been enriched by this time. I'm a little concerned about whether she'll be sitting on the plane next to me on the way back to Kansas City on Monday, because she has been enjoying the climate and enjoying the fellowship so much. Also, I want to recognize that, you know, as the evangelist, I feel like I have about the easiest job of the week, because I get to be up here and simply share with you for a few minutes about some of the things the Lord has said to me, and then I get to be in a front row seat as the Lord works through some victories. I get to hear your stories, and that is such a wonderful privilege. But there are so many people who work so much harder to make a week like this come together. And there is a danger in starting to name names that I'm going to miss some. I unquestionably will. But I just need to say thanks to Kim and to Janet for serving us, not only so expertly, but just so lovingly and graciously in the kitchen. That has been such a blessing to us. And I don't know what it's like in your hometown. It's been at least 2 years, I think, since I have been in a restaurant that has given me good and polite service. Yet the young people who have been working there, clearing out the dishes and serving us and so forth, wow, they are on top of it, and they always have a smile, and that has just been so wonderful. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Carl, for leading the music. Thank you to all of you who have been contributing the special music. And, of course, we want to thank those who have been ministering in addition. Pastor Michael and Jacqueline, thank you for leading the youth. Mark and Esty for the missions. Pastor Ryan for the Bible study. Becky and Jim for leading with the children. There is a great team that comes together to pull all of this off, and I'm so grateful to all of them, and will you just join me in expressing your appreciation to all of them? Well, Saturday already. As we approach the end of this week, I kind of want to speak slower, not just because I am tired, but because I don't want the week to come to an end. But as we turn to God's word this morning, turn this evening, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19, hear the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This is the word of the Lord. I travel a good bit, and it seems like no matter where I go, one of the primary questions I hear is, where has the holiness message gone? Why are we not hearing it more often? And I find myself asking that question myself. Not just why we are not hearing it so much from our pulpits, but why we are not hearing it so much from our people. And I'm convinced that a good part of the problem is in simply understanding what holiness is and in experiencing holiness for what it is. You see, it's one thing for me to stand up here and tell you about creation, to tell you that it happened in 6 days, because that's what the Word of God says, and I believe it. But none of you think that I was actually there, nor do I pretend for a moment to have been an eyewitness. That is something that I take on faith. I can tell you that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he rose again on the third day. I believe it because the Word of God says it, but none of you think for a moment that I was there to be an eyewitness to it, and I've never pretended to be. However, when it comes to the matter of talking about something such as entire sanctification and heart holiness, it's not enough to simply talk about it in philosophical terms. When it's something like that, If you're hearing it from me, I think you would expect that it is something that I am not just telling you about, but that it is something that I have experienced. And in the same way, if you are going to share with others what entire sanctification is, what holiness is, there is an expectation from them, as there should be in you, that you are talking not just as a casual observer, but you are sharing a personal experience so that they know that this is something that they can have, that they can achieve, that it is possible. So how do we explain holiness and how do we experience it? Tonight we're going to talk a wee bit about the hindrances of holiness. One of the main hindrances is simply in understanding what holiness is and how we explain it. If you were to ask me to talk to you about my marriage, I can tell you, and I can tell you quite truthfully about the benefits of it, because there are so many. I mean, I am not lonely. I no longer have to worry about mismatching my clothes because my color blindness is compensated for. I don't have to worry about being sick and going off all by myself because I have someone there to care for me and to support me. I can tell you about what it's like to have an extra voice of wisdom. I can tell you about all of these great things, all of these benefits, and all of them are absolutely true. But if that's all I talk about, I've missed something very, very important. I've missed this lady over here. Because if I talk about all the benefits of marriage, but I don't tell you about the primary benefit of marriage, is that I get to be married to Jody, I have just missed the whole point. And if I'm trying to tell you about marriage and I haven't told you about what it is, who it is that makes me married, you have missed everything about what marriage truly is. And that's where we run into problems in talking about holiness. That's where we run into trouble in simply talking about the gospel. Because the gospel we share is so often just half of the gospel. We tell people about the benefits that they get. You get forgiven of your sins. Jesus will get you past the judgment. He will save you from hell. He'll give you great gifts. He'll show you signs and wonders. But you know what we're missing in all of that? The greatest gift of all? He gives you himself. And he beats it all. What is holiness? What is entire sanctification? It is, at its essence, a personal relationship. A personal relationship with Jesus himself. And it is a relationship of love, of intimacy, of friendship, of trust. It is a relationship unlike any other. Are there benefits to it? Oh, yes, there are. There are incredible benefits that come from that relationship. But if all I do is tell you about the benefits, I have trivialized the one who makes it possible to experience those benefits. You see, his gifts are incredibly great. His gifts, in fact, are almost a substitute for him. So much so that we can have all of his gifts and not have him, and for a while we think we're just fine. But if you have his gifts and you don't have him, inevitably you will realize there's something missing. Because as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, God created man with eternity in our hearts. That means that there is nothing short of the eternal one who is able to fill the void that is in here. So when we chase after those gifts and we talk about all the benefits that we get from him, but we neglect talking about him, we have just left out the most important element. So that's one hindrance to holiness, is talking about it as a thing to be achieved rather than a relationship to be treasured. Now, God gave us something that helps very much in understanding the relationship that he desires to have with us, a relationship that he died to make possible for us to have with him, and that is the institution of marriage. It tells us so much about what it means to live as the people of God. There is within marriage, first of all, an exclusivity. There was a moment in time before I met Jody where I had no particular obligations towards anybody. Now, I don't want to give you the wrong impression. It's not like there were a lot of options out there for me. But then I met her, and I was immediately enamored. And then one day I made a decision to say, will you marry me? And the most flattering thing to ever happen to me in my life, short of my salvation, was when she said yes. And I can tell you about that day, there in Eureka, Illinois, Church of the Nazarene, we're standing up there in front of our pastor. One moment I was single, and the next moment, in an instant, I was hitched. I was married. And when the pastor said to me, will you take her? And I said, I will. In that moment, I was saying, I won't, to 3.5 billion women. There is an exclusivity when we make a commitment like that. I can be friendly to as many people as I want, but she is entitled to and expects my exclusive devotion. Well, it's the same way with Jesus. When we get to that point of entire consecration, what we are doing is we are making a commitment of exclusivity to him. We're saying, I want you and you alone. No one else. I will take my satisfaction and my fulfillment only from you. So it is an exclusive commitment. And it happens in an instant. As I said, one moment I was single. The next, I was married. When the pastor, after we did our vows, the pastor did not say, now by the authority committed unto me as a minister of the gospel, I pronounce that over the next several years, you will gradually become husband and wife. The moment he spoke it, it happened. There was no transition whatsoever. Same way when it comes to that point of entire consecration with our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that entire sanctification is a second definite work of grace. It happens by the infilling of the heart by the blessed Holy Spirit, where he comes in and cleanses us of original sin and depravity and gives us a heart made perfect, perfect in love and able to be fully, absolutely devoted to him. And we believe it happens instantly, in a second. Now, I have to tell you, on that day, June 12th, 1999, I'm pretty confident that at some point during the day, I said to Jody, I love you. And I meant it. Absolutely, I meant it. 23 years later, when I say I love you, I still mean it. I don't mean the same thing. You see, I loved her very much there in 1999. I didn't think it was possible to love her more. But as the years go by, it just gets richer and richer. And so those words, I love you, mean so much more. You see, one of the hindrances to holiness is that people think, well, I haven't fully arrived. I can still get so much more. I can fall more in love with Jesus. I can do more with Jesus, so I must not yet be sanctified. Well, there is a distinct difference between a clean heart and a mature character. That clean heart, it can come in an instant. That mature character, that's going to take a lifetime of growth in grace. The longer you are married, and I love hearing the testimonies of those of you who have been married longer than we have, your testimonies are about how you have grown ever closer as the years go by. Well, such is the case in our relationship with Jesus. And because he is infinite and eternal, 100,000 years from now, we'll be talking to each other about how much more we love him than we did a mere 20,000 years ago. For eternity, ever drawing closer to the Holy One. Now, There's also a hindrance to holiness in understanding what total consecration is and what it is not. You see, you can be entirely devoted to your spouse and still make mistakes. Yeah, I'll tell it. Shortly after we were married, we were going out somewhere, and Jody had gotten a new dress. And she put it on, she came out, and I saw her in that dress for the first time, and she said, "How do I look?" Now, what was going through my mind is this. She is smoking. She looks awesome. Incredible. Wow. Could not possibly look better. What came out of my mouth were the words, "You look as good as you can." Technically, that means the same thing. Her eyes got a little big, and I realized as soon as I said it that I'd put my foot in my mouth. And then she burst out laughing. She knew my heart. And she knew in that moment that my social awkwardness, my awkwardness, had momentarily overcome my ability to be able to speak properly. I had made a mistake there. Sanctification does not make you infallible. It does not make you perfect in performance. You can be entirely sanctified, and in leaving here tonight, accidentally back your car into your neighbor's. If you do that intentionally, that is a sin. And you're going to have to not only repent of that and pay for the damages, but you probably need to come up here and have a little conversation with the Lord. If you do it by accident, that is not a sin. But you're still going to have to apologize. And you're still going to have to pay for those damages. In our relationships with one another, we will occasionally make mistakes. Even the best intentioned, even the smartest of us will make mistakes. Mistakes that can hurt. Mistakes that have consequences. But that doesn't... A mistake is different than a sin. A sin is an intentional violation of the known will of God. And one of the hindrances to holiness are people who have this strange expectation that if they will come and they will pray at the altar, pray for entire sanctification, that they will never make another mistake, that they will never again have to say the words, "I'm sorry." I've never apologized more than since I asked the Lord to come in and take total control of my heart. You see, the problem before was I was making probably more mistakes than I am now. But I was too blinded to it. I didn't even care. It would take something massive to get my attention. But what happens is when you are entirely devoted to God, when you do something that hurts somebody else, when you do something that interferes in your relationship with Him, you are immediately aware of it. And you sense the sorrow of it. You sense an interruption in a relationship. You do whatever it takes then and there to go and correct it. So, entire sanctification does not make you perfect in performance. It makes you perfect in love. Another barrier to entire sanctification, or a hindrance to holiness, is misunderstanding how you get that. As I said at the beginning, we can so often focus upon the gifts. We look at, we may be driven to the altar because we're aware of a continuing problem in our lives, a sin that holds on, that we're unable to let go on our own, and we come and we ask to be cleansed of that particular sin, and the Lord is able to do that. But a hindrance to holiness is that we are imperfect in asking enough. We limit God. We come forward and we think we know what the issue is, and so we ask specifically for that particular issue. But God's interested in so much more. I'm not going to ask whether you have ever said this, because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But I expect all of us have heard the saying, don't pray for patience, because God will make you wait. Do you know what happens when you pray with a full heart for patience? God will give you patience. Our God is not an ogre. God is not in the business of looking for ways to punish us. If you have an issue with impatience, God will purify you and cleanse you of that impatience. You see, patience does not mean that you sit around grumbling and complaining and fussing while you wait. That is the very definition of impatience. If God is impressing upon you that you have an issue with impatience, you know what? He will actually change your heart where you can have joy while you are sitting in a traffic jam. It is like saying that if I pray that God will make me happy, that he will intentionally make me miserable. That is such a wrong idea of who God is. And yet we come with these totally wrong notions of who he is. You see, he wants the best for us. He loves us. And sometimes we come forward because we think we know what is best for who we are supposed to be, and sometimes we think we know the limits of what he's able to do in our lives. There was a conference that has been put on by multiple denominations, Come to the Fire, Ladies Holiness Conference. It's been going on for a few years. At one of them a few years ago, they did an altar call. And a woman came forward. My memory is that she was 67 years old. She was unfamiliar with the holiness message, and she came forward to the altar, and someone came to pray with her, and she said, I'm 67 years old. I've been a Christian since I'm a little girl. And I'm mean. She said, I am mean. And I've been that way all my life. She said, are you telling me that God can take a 67-year-old woman who's mean and make her sweet? Well, that's exactly what we're saying. And that's exactly what he did. You see, I don't care whether you are 14 years old or if you're 114 years old. If there is something within your heart that you know that God is not pleased with, you don't have to live with that. He is not limited by that. He has been waiting to be able to take that from you. But the hindrance to holiness is imperfect consecration. You see, entire sanctification comes when we say to God, there is nothing that is off limits. Nothing. And it's so easy to say that the things that I want to give to him are those things that are immediately before me, the things that immediately cause me problems. I have an addiction to gambling. I want him to take that gambling addiction from me. I have a break in my relationships. I want those relationships to be restored. He wants to transform us from the inside out. He wants to give us a heart like his. And when we come forward and we're at the altar and we say, Lord, I am yours, but we are unwilling to let go of unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, rage, disbelief, any kind of stinking thinking. When we hold on to that, that becomes an idol, that becomes sin, and that is something that will hinder us and stop us from ever obtaining that blessing that we call entire sanctification. See, what God wants us to yield to him is everything. He even wants us to hand over to him all of the stuff that we're ashamed of. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He's not wanting to take from us the things that we have great pleasure in so that we live our lives sour and miserable with an expression as if we have been weaned on a pickle. He wants us to yield everything to him, good and bad, so that he can cleanse it, purify it, and give it back to us exactly the way that he knows we need it. So you can actually be hindered from the blessing by holding on to negative thinking, to disbelief, to jealousy, to unforgiveness. I serve as an interim pastor. I get assigned to churches that need a little extra touch. Because I'm a lawyer, and if I wanted people to like me, I never would have gone into that profession. And you know, the number one thing that I run into when I go into a church that is unhealthy, it is filled with people who have to have it my way. They want it my way. It's got to be my way. It's my type of worship that I want. It's my color of carpet. It's my way of doing the finances. It's the time of having worship services that works best for me. The number one barrier to the church being the church is a bunch of people who have to have my way. And that includes pastors. Because I've seen a lot of churches that are destroyed because the pastor has to have it my way. Entire sanctification is when we get to that point of letting go of my way. And we want his way. How do you know if you have it? How do you know if it's real? I was a prosecutor for the first part of my career. I don't know how many sentencing hearings I sat in. And I heard defendants express genuine sorrow and repentance. They had made a mistake. They will never do this again. And more than a few of them are what we call jailhouse conversions. What they were saying at that moment is, I'm really sorry about my circumstances. I really wish I didn't have to go through these circumstances. I'm sorry that this happened. But every once in a while, I would see somebody who would say, I'm sorry I did it. I'm sorry that I did this, that I caused this harm. That was something that I knew was not a jailhouse conversion. That was somebody who was accepting true responsibility. The jailhouse conversions lasted until the sentencing hearing was over. The other ones tended to stick. And too often, I think, many of us, we can come to the altar and we pray and we get up and we wonder, is this a jailhouse conversion? Did I really mean it? Will it really stick? Because there's something about entire sanctification where you generally don't find it the first time you come up to the altar. Because there is something there, as we talked about last night, that sin nature that is deeply rooted within us, and it doesn't want to let you. So there are many people who come up and they will pray for entire sanctification, and yet they fall back into sin. So how do you know whether it's real, whether it's genuine? First question you have to ask yourself is this: am I holding anything back? Is there anything that is off the table? Anything I am unwilling to do at this point forward? I've talked to many men who have come forward and prayed, or they've come and they've sought counseling about the scourge of pornography, and they are sorry that it has happened. And one of the first things I say is, are you willing to let go of your smartphone? Are you willing to get rid of the browser on your phone? You see, a lot of times we say, well, I'm sorry it happened, and God, I just want you to transform me. But if God says, I'd like to transform you and I'd like to protect you from falling into this anymore, I'd like you to stop carrying a porn shop around in your pocket every time you leave the house. And so if I say, are you willing to let go of that? I learn a lot about how much that guy is serious about it by his answer. If I hear about how Western civilization will crumble because this guy can't get his email for a day, I know he is not entirely consecrated. There's something else that's more important to him than being truly obedient to the Lord. And I don't know what the issue might be with you. It might be that there's something that you're dealing with that's been an ongoing issue. You have tried again and again. If entire sanctification, if your prayer experience is simply saying to God, I'm going to try really hard this time, you're not there. Because if trying hard could get us to holiness, we would all be there. It's not what we can do, it's what God can do. And as long as we are holding anything back and saying there's something I will not do in pursuit of this, you're not there yet. you may be taking steps towards it, but you are not entirely consecrated to him until everything is off of the table. Entire sanctification is not something that you base simply on how you feel at that moment. Again, I go back to marriage. Jody and I frequently talk about our two-week honeymoon after we were married. We traveled up the west coast of Michigan. Such a wonderful time to start our lives together. And there were stars in our eyes. And we were on a boat going to Mackinac Island, and somebody came up and said, "You must be newlyweds." They could tell just because of the way we looked. And we had goosebumps all the time. And it was wonderful. And I can also tell you about other days. Days at 2:30 in the morning when the baby would cry. And we'd open our eyes and roll over and look at each other, and neither of us had stars in our eyes. Not a single goosebump. And you know what? We were still married. We were still completely committed to each other. It was not something that was based upon how we felt. It was based upon a commitment that we had made to each other. And there are times when I come home, I'm the cook for the family. There are times when I come home from work, I don't feel like cooking a blessed thing. The goosebumps aren't there. But my desire to show my love for my wife comes out in my decision to serve her anyway. Since I was last with you 6 years ago, 4 years ago, my dad went to heaven. 11 months ago, my mom went to heaven. Jody was just as close to them as I was. Yet, in those moments of utter grief, where I couldn't even speak, I didn't even know what I could do, in those moments, she was the one, not because of any goosebumps that she was feeling, but because of a commitment that she had made to love me. She put her grief on hold long enough to just keep me on my feet to get through the whole thing. Not because of emotions, not because of goosebumps, not because of chills going up the spine, but because of a choice, a decision, and a sacred promise. So I can tell you about some goosebump moments that you're going to feel when you give your heart entirely to our Lord and Savior. And I can tell you about some incredible benefits. And I can also tell you that there are going to be some days when you don't feel sanctified. You don't feel saved. You're not feeling the blessing in that particular moment. Don't give in to the lies of the devil, because it is not about goosebumps in that moment. It is about a decision on your part, a sacred promise that you made to him, that you would serve him, that you would be exclusively devoted to him and no one else. And in those moments, especially in those moments, when you love him and you serve him out of that sacred promise, what you're going to find is that the next round of goosebumps and the next round of cold chills, butterflies in your stomach, all of those things will be more intense than ever before. Because when we act out that love, not when we feel like it, but because that's what we have committed to do, that's when that love becomes the deepest. So too many people miss out on the experience because they think that they're getting the wrong thing. They are convinced that because life is not all roses from that point forward, that they must have missed out on it. Don't fall for that trap. If you want to be sanctified, the key issue is, are you holding anything back? Is there anything that's off the table? When he asks you to do something, are you going to say, yes, God, but? Are you totally committed to him? To the degree that you hold on to control of your life, you will to that degree be fruitless. But if you're willing to let go of everything, then that's when the blessed Holy Spirit comes in, and you will experience Him and all of the blessings and all of the benefits. Tonight, I wonder, as we approach the very end of this week, is there anyone here who has been experiencing a hindrance to holiness? Is there anyone here who has failed to achieve or retain the blessing? Is there something in your life that is more important to you than your absolute obedience to Him? You can be cleansed. You can be sanctified. You can be, and it can happen instantly, in a moment. Will you do it? Will you do it tonight? Carl, will you come lead us in a time of response? And as we stand, our altars are open. God has been speaking to us throughout this week. Many have responded. Many have already found answers. Many have already achieved victory. But there are some who may be waiting. Waiting for one more day. Just waiting. Please don't put it off. If we've learned anything over the last couple years, it's that we have no assurance of what tomorrow is. There are some people here that I'm fully expecting to see you again in just a few days back in Kansas City. There are others here who I hope to run into you again sometime soon. I also expect that there's some here tonight that the next time we see each other will be in the presence of Jesus. Why on earth would you wait when He's offering you His very self? Why would you put it off even for one more moment? Would you stand? Our altars are open. Don't let there be a single hindrance to holiness in your life.
Please take the hymns of the Holy Spirit. Turn to number 27. Fill Me Now. Number 27.
Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow, fill me with Thy hallowed presence, come, O come, and fill me now, fill me now, fill me now, Jesus, come and fill me now, fill me with Thy hallowed presence, come, O come, and fill me now. Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell Thee how, but I need Thee, greatly need Thee, come, O come, and fill me now, fill me now, fill me now, Jesus, come and fill me now, fill me with Thy hallowed presence, come, O come, and fill me now.
Our Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for Your love and for Your presence, and we thank You for the fact that You died not just to forgive us of our sins, but You died to make us as close to You as possible. Lord, I pray for everyone who is here tonight, that You would search each of our hearts. reveal to us if there is any area of rebellion, any area of stubbornness, any area of resistance. I pray, Lord, that as you reveal those things, that you would be faithful to continue to bring them to mind to us until we are so sick of them, so miserable about that, that we are willing to yield that even to you. Father, now as we leave here, I ask that you would bless us, continue to speak with us, and prepare us for a new day of serving you. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.